Welcome to Tuned To Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. Mark Levonier, your host for an hour of Westerns. Later on, Raymond Burr stars in Fort Laramie from 1956. But first, it's Have Gun, Will Travel, with the story Hell Knows No Fury, a CBS broadcast from October 23rd, 1960.
This woman may spend a lot of money and time in your store, Billy, but is a good customer worth more than your life?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Hey, that ought to do it. Thank you, hey boy.
Oh, you saw. But there is one thing, hey boy, not understand.
What's that?
Why you take fancy shorts on easy trip, Mr. Paladin?
Well, I'm not sure I know the answer myself. I just have a feeling that Whitewater Falls has become a very fashionable town now that Billy Boggs has set up shop there, and I want to be in style.
Oh, this is Billy Boggs. He's the same man who have haberdasher shop in San Francisco for many years?
Yeah, that's right. Same man.
Why he move away to a dinky town like Whitewater Falls?
Well, for his health, he said. He couldn't stand the fog anymore, he said.
Oh, fog not hurt health. Hey, boy, like fog. Like big city much better than dinky town.
Well, to each his own, hey, boy.
Why is some for you? He in much trouble?
If a man threatened to kill you because he thought you were trying to steal his wife, would that be trouble?
Oh, you saw.
That's what Billy said in his letter.
Your my, could be big sad mess.
We'll see, hey boy, but it's hard to believe that Billy Boggs is mixed up with a woman, especially a married woman. He never seemed to be the type.
Oh, can't always tell a man by way he looks, Mr. Paladin.
Ordinarily, I'd agree with you, but not when it comes to Billy Boggs. But we'll see, hey boy. We'll see. From a haberdasher shop in San Francisco to a general store in Whitewater Falls was quite a transition. From the street, it looked like any other general store anywhere, but inside, it looked more like Billy Boggs, except for one big difference. He was now specializing in women's apparel instead of men's. More than half the floor space was devoted to a ladies' department where the latest Paris styles were proudly displayed. The more mundane items found in a general store like cheese and coal oil were crowded to the corners. Billy Boggs personally attended to fashion, and I must admit he had a style all his own.
I declare, Mr. Boggs, this was a dreary town before you brought high fashion to us.
Well, it's a privilege and a pleasure to adorn beauty such as yours, Mrs. Thompson.
Oh, Mr. Boggs, yeah. How you do go on.
Well, I must say, Billy, your merchandise is more attractive than your customers.
Yes, well, they don't have to be gorgeous, Paladin. As long as I can make them believe they are, it keeps me in business.
Oh, that could be a dangerous philosophy, Billy. Perhaps that's causing your present troubles.
Oh, no. No, they're not all like that old hen. Oh, Paladin, wait until you meet Amelia. Mrs. Arbuthnot.
What's the full story, Billy?
Well, it's like I told you. Her husband got it in for me. Just because she craves high style and spends a lot of time in my store, he's fixing to gun me.
And when does he propose to do this?
Well, how do I know? I haven't talked to him.
You haven't talked to him?
No.
How did he make his threat?
Through her, through Amelia. She's warned me. He thinks she's attracted to me because she comes in here all the time.
Why don't you keep her out?
Well, I can't do that. She's my best customer.
Was a good customer worth more than your life?
I hadn't thought about it exactly that way.
Yeah. I think there's more to this than you're telling me, Billy Boggs.
Now, Paladin, don't be jumping to any conclusions. All I want you to do is to keep Henry Arbuthnot from killing me, and I'm willing to pay you.
This kind of protection usually runs pretty high.
Whatever you say.
I'll let you know. Maybe I'd better get Arbuthnot's side of this before I decide to take the job.
Amelia can tell you all about it.
Oh, when do I meet her?
Right now. Look.
Oh.
That's her.
Mrs. Arbuthnot?
That's right.
Oh, my, my, my. She is indeed a looker.
Yes.
Oh, Billy, I came as soon as I heard you had a new shipment.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get the reversible silk petticoats with a lacy frill? Oh. Excuse me, I didn't know you were waiting on someone.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right, Amelia. I want you to meet a friend of mine. Paladin, this is Mrs. Arbuthnot, one of my most valued customers.
Ma'am.
How do you do, Mr. Paladin?
Hey, Mr. Paladin is a, business associate of mine, Amelia.
Oh, indeed. Mm. Will your business keep you long in Whitewater Falls, Mr. Paladin?
That depends.
On what?
You.
Me?
Well, that's to say, I'm here to make a survey of Mr. Boggs' female clientele.
Oh, well, how interesting. When do you begin?
I already have.
But I should think such a project would proceed more successfully under less formal circumstances.
It might.
Then suppose you take tea with me this afternoon.
I should be honored, ma'am.
Amelia, I should like to direct your attention to these perfectly entrancing bonnets.
Later, Billy, later. I seem to have lost my interest in clothes for the moment.
But, Amelia...
Billy can direct you to my house, Mr. Paladin. I'll expect you at 3.
I'll be there.
Until then.
Until then.
Well, now look here, Paladin.
Hmm?
I'm not hiring you to socialize with Mrs. Arbuthnot. You're supposed to protect me from her husband.
I am beginning to think I may have to protect you from yourself.
Now, what do you mean by that?
You didn't look like shopkeeper and customer to me, Billy this and Amelia that. Are you sure you aren't holding out some facts on me?
My private life has nothing to do with it.
Oh, it has everything to do with it. Your private life and hers and her husband's. The only way I can do a job for you is to find out all I can about the people involved. If you don't want me to do that, then maybe we just as well forget about the whole thing, and I'll go back to San Francisco.
Yes, well, maybe that would be best.
Whatever you say.
Paladin, look. Look, out in the street.
What?
There, out there in the street. He's coming this way. He's coming to get me.
Ooh.
That big fella in the buckskin coat, that's Henry Arbuthnot.
Her husband?
Yes, yes.
Well, he doesn't look so big or so tough.
Well, he is.
Well, he isn't coming in here. He's walking right past the door.
Oh. Oh, dear. Well, this time, maybe. But the day will come.
Listen, Boggs, he wasn't even wearing a gun.
No, he probably left it in the gun shop to have it put in a top-notch shape to kill me. And, oh, look, Paladin, forget what I said. Do it your way. Anything you say goes. Only don't walk out on me. Don't let that man kill me.
Mr. Paladin, how nice of you to come.
I've been looking forward to it.
You say the nicest things. Come in. We can have tea in my private sitting room.
Oh, how cozy.
Come.
You have a lovely home.
We enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
In here.
Thank you.
Come now. Sit here beside me on the love seat.
Is there room?
We'll make room.
There.
No, I didn't know you were such a famous man, Mr. Paladin.
Am I?
My husband told me all about you.
He did?
Yes. How many men have you killed, Paladin?
Well, quite frankly, I don't recall.
Have you ever killed over a woman?
Over a woman?
Oh, it must make a man feel like a god to kill for his woman. To stand there, gun smoking, looking down on his dead rival, knowing what a prize is waiting for him.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, come now, Paladin, don't be modest. Then how must she feel? The woman these two men have fought over. For that moment, she must feel indeed like a goddess at whose altar a human sacrifice has been laid.
She might, if she were as romantic as you are.
Oh, do you find me so, Mr. Paladin?
Well... Maybe you've been reading too many novels.
I do read a great deal. But then why shouldn't I? Nothing ever happens in Whitewater Falls.
Like men being killed over a beautiful woman?
Oh, who would do that in this town? A bunch of farmers who never shot anything more dangerous than a jackrabbit.
Billy Boggs tells me your husband was once pretty handy with a gun.
He was, to hear him tell about it. I suspect he could still outdraw anyone in these parts, except you, Mr. Paladin.
Ooh. I'm not looking for any trouble.
I'm trouble, Mr. Paladin.
Are you?
For the right man. Are you the right man, Paladin?
Right man for what?
For me.
Well, I hadn't given it much thought.
But you will, now that you know I have. Won't you, Paladin?
It does seem to give it some immediacy.
You're him, Paladin. You're what I've been waiting for.
And there's really nothing much I can do about it, is there?
Nothing but a seed, gracefully. And you won't find that too much trouble, will you, Paladin?
Not when you're this close to me, ma'am.
Amelia.
Amelia.
You must be Paladin.
Yes, that's right.
Excuse the interruption. Sit down.
Why,
Amelia said you'd be coming to call.
Oh, she did?
Yes. Amelia has no secrets from me, have you, my dear?
None, Henry. Why should I?
So, if you'll get that nervous hand of yours away from your holster, I'd like to shake it.
Hmm? Oh, yes, of course. I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Arbuthnot.
And I to meet you, Paladin. You're so famous, you're practically a legend.
But as you can see, as human as the next man and as susceptible to temptation.
He who is without sin, let him throw the first stone.
You see what I mean, Paladin. You see the kind of heroes we grow in these parts.
Now, Amelia, are you going to start that all over again?
No, Henry. What good would it do?
Amelia thinks things are too quiet around here. She's always trying to stir up some excitement.
Oh, Henry, that isn't true.
Isn't it now? Mr. Paladin, I figure if you don't go looking for trouble, trouble won't come looking for you.
But you saw plenty of it in your time, didn't you?
Maybe I have. But if the good Lord lets you live long enough, you learn that there aren't very many reasons for drawing a gun on a man. About the only one that comes to mind right readily is to protect yourself. And then, too, man gets to be my age. His fingers get the rheumatism. His eye isn't so good. He'd better keep his gun in his holster. Right, Mr. Paladin?
If you say so, Mr. Arbuthnot. However adept Henry Arbuthnot may once have been with a gun, it was clear that he was no longer a threat to anyone. He had a philosophy of non-violence and a body that was tending to go flabby. Billy Boggs was safe, and I told him so.
You're sure?
Positive. Whether you're selling her ribbons, yard goods, Paris hats, or your special brand of sweet talk, you're safe.
I told you, Paladin, our relationship is strictly business.
Whatever it is, your life is in no danger and never was.
Hmm. Well, now, you say Arbuthnot's got a philosophy or whatever it is?
Huh?
But he could change his mind, couldn't he?
Sure he could, but he won't.
You sound mighty positive.
I am.
Why?
Well, he's not as young as he once was. He's slowing down. He's got a touch of rheumatism in his gun hand.
Hmm, is that a fact?
Eyes aren't as sharp anymore.
I never knew that.
What are you going to do now, Billy? Play footsie with that wife of his under his nose or face up to it like a man and run away with her?
Neither, Paladin, neither. But in any case, my plans no longer concern you.
That they don't, and I'm mighty glad to be out of it.
Are you going back to San Francisco?
Might as well.
No stage until tomorrow morning.
I'll be on it. But if you need me, I'll be around till then.
Evening, Mr. Boggs.
Evening, Ben. I'll have a whiskey.
A whiskey, Mr. Boggs?
I said whiskey.
Since when did you go off in the beer wagon?
Since when is that any of your business?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Boggs. One whiskey.
Yeah. Mr. Arbuthnot been in this evening?
Why, yes, sir. He's right over there in the corner, sitting in on a hand of poker.
Yes, I see him.
Hey, did your friend Mr. Paladin leave?
No, Ben, he leaves tomorrow.
Well, howdy there, Mr. Boggs.
Evening, Red.
Hey, what's your big idea, huh?
What idea, Red?
Well, I never saw you wearing a gun before.
Uh-huh. Well, you do now.
Well, so nice and shiny and new, like it was out of your stock.
It is, it is.
How come? Are you gunning for somebody?
Maybe.
What? Oh, no.
Now, what's so funny?
You, on the prowl. You.
Now, don't you upset me, Red. I'm not gunning for you, and I don't want to.
You better not be.
Be quiet. Oh, there, he's coming this way.
What, you gunning for him?
You stick around and see. Arbuthnot? Henry Arbuthnot.
Oh, good evening, Boggs.
Arbuthnot, the time has come for a showdown.
Indeed.
Yes, it's you or me.
Go home and sleep it off, Boggs.
Now, don't you tell me what to do. Don't you tell me anything.
Well, that's fair enough. Good night, Boggs.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here now. You don't walk out on me. I'm not finished yet. You hear me, Arbuthnot? I'm not finished with you. You better stop right where you are. I'm not anxious to shoot you in the back, but I will if necessary.
Why don't you go home, Boggs? I've got no quarrel with you.
Well, I've got a quarrel with you, and we're settling it right now. So go on. Go for your gun. What's the matter? You getting too old for gunfighting? It's a sure thing you're too old for that young wife of yours.
You leave her out of this.
I can't. She's right in the middle of it. She's sick to death of you, Arbuthnot. Didn't you know that? Everybody else in town does. Everybody else knows what's been going on between us. Seems only fair to let you in on the secret.
Boy, you...
Billy! Billy, what happened? Paladin, he went for his gun.
His gun? It's still in his holster. He couldn't have. His hand was too crippled. You knew that. I told you that.
Oh? I don't remember.
Billy, this is murder. You know it, and I know it. Somebody got the word to Amelia Arbuthnot, and she came running up the moonlit street, holding her skirts high. She threw herself on her husband's body, and she seemed to be sobbing. But I could see her unbuckle her husband's gun belt. She got it loose, rose to her feet, strapping it around her waist.
All right, Mr. Boggs. I'll see to firing my husband's gun.
Why, Amelia, I'm
giving you a chance to defend yourself.
Well, I can't go up against a woman.
Why not? You went up against a man who was unable to defend himself. I'm able and I will.
But I can't, Amelia. I love you.
Oh, do you now? Love me enough to murder my husband?
I gave him a fair chance.
Like I'm giving you.
Oh, no, now, Amelia, I can't.
Oh, you're not scared of little old me, are you, Billy?
Mrs. Arbuthnot, look, do you know what you're doing?
You bet I do. He didn't think there was room in Whitewater Falls for him and my husband. Well, there isn't room in the whole wide world for him and me.
But I love you, Amelia. I won't shoot you.
Oh, that's too bad, Billy Boggs, because I loathe you. And I will shoot you.
Amelia!
All right. Make your play!
Hey, look at that!
Any of you boys want to call the law in on this?
No, ma'am. That was a fair fight and the best man. Well, that is...
Very well, then.
Mrs. Arbuthnot. I'd better escort you home.
Why, thank you, Mr. Paladin.
You knew he wouldn't draw on you, didn't you?
Aren't you forgetting?
No, I'm remembering. I didn't realize you had such a strong feeling for your husband.
I didn't.
But you just killed Billy to avenge his murder.
Not to avenge my husband's murder, Paladin. To remove Billy.
I don't understand.
Billy Boggs was such a dreadfully silly little man. But he did do us a favor.
Us?
You and me. He did us the favor of removing Henry. I'm grateful. But we wouldn't want Billy around bothering us, now would we?
What a pity you didn't talk it over with me first.
What do you mean? Haven't you understood a word I've said?
Every word, Mrs. Arbuthnot. Every word. And all I've got to say to you is... Good night.
Good night.
Yes, Miss Wong?
I finished cleaning room. Would you like Mr. Wong to bring you some nice hot coffee?
No, thanks, Miss Wong. I'll be going down for lunch soon.
You all right, Mr. Paladin?
Fine.
Yes, I feel fine. Why do you ask?
Well, ever since you come back, you've been very quiet. You look white, like you've been scared.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was a little frightened, Miss Wong.
What scared you?
A femme fatale.
Miss Wong, no understand.
But it's hard to explain. There's nothing like it in China, I'm sure.
Oh.
Femme fatale. A fatal woman.
Oh.
That's to say, a woman who tries to get her man no matter what.
Yes, sir. Now, Miss Wong, understand, we have same thing in China.
Well, perhaps you do it that, but not the kind who uses a gun.
Oh, no, sir. Chinese woman, I have to use gun. Can get her man much better without gun. Oh, many better ways.
I think I know what you mean. And I believe I've witnessed our Miss Wong as a femme fatale when it comes to... Hey, boy?
You're very observant man, Mr. Paladin.
Have gun, will travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from October 23rd, 1960. You are listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for an episode of Fort Laramie, directed and produced by Norman McDonald. He, along with writer John Dunkel, heavily researched not only the Old West, but what life was actually like at Fort Laramie. And this next story, called Squaw Man, happens to be one of the true ones, as one of the descendants of Will Granby, who you'll hear about next, reached out to me to verify that. The CBS episode first heard on February 5th, 1956.
Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Looks like they're about ready to pull out, Captain.
Yeah. Walk back with me, Sergeant.
I never did see such a mangy collection of stock.
It's not a cavalry outfit, Gorse.
It sure ain't.
Most of these wagon trains heading west get through one way or another, but I sure don't know how.
I talked with Mr. Brown a couple of times. He seems like a good man.
He is. But I wonder how much luck a Missouri farmer is going to have taking a couple of hundred women and children through Indian country.
He'll make out, Captain.
I hope so.
Hello, Sergeant Gorse.
I beg your pardon, miss.
I was afraid we'd leave without seeing you again.
Oh, well, I...
And I wanted to thank you for last night.
Yeah, well, sure, miss.
Goodbye, Sergeant. And thank you.
Still, water runs deep, Gorse.
How's that, Captain?
Never mind.
All I did was give her a little old knife. I bought it at the sutler's.
Never mind.
That's all it was, Captain. I just give her a little old present.
Sure, Sergeant.
Come on, get in there. Keep
them wagons in line, two abreast, till we hit the river.
You're late getting started, Mr. Brown.
Oh, hello, Captain Quinn. Only about an hour.
You're wasting daylight.
Yeah, we're pulling out now, Captain. Any of your men going to ride along with us?
No, but you won't have any trouble.
Like they say, Captain, Oregon or bust. You guarantee no trouble, Captain?
Out here, we don't guarantee anything, Mr. Brown. But you should at least get through to Salt Lake without trouble.
Yeah, I hope you're right. It's mighty lonely out there once you're out of sight of the fort.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank the Major for his hospitality, will you?
No thanks necessary. Well, good luck.
Thanks. See you in Oregon sometime, Captain.
All right. Stretch out.
Well, Doris, what are you staring at?
Oh, nothing, Captain. Just a train heading out.
You've seen a few hundred of them before, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
What's her name?
Who?
The girl.
Emily. Emily McCutcheon. Going to Oregon with her pa. She was put up real good.
You're all cavalry, Gorse.
Yes, sir. Long way to Oregon. I hope they make it.
So do I. Yeah, come on. I missed coffee this morning. Let's find some.
There's a rider coming in.
Yeah.
Looks like a white man, dressed in buckskin. Hunter, maybe.
That's Will Granby.
He's a squaw man, eh?
Yeah, lives with the Arapaho.
Captain?
How are you, old horse?
Tolerable.
Well, it's good to see you. You haven't been in 2 or 3 years.
Nope.
You come for supplies?
Come to parley. Got a proposition.
Huh? All right, come on in, Will.
Oblige.
Sergeant Gorse, will you have Mr. Granby's horse stabled?
Yes, sir.
Come on, come on.
Sit down, Will.
Oblige.
All right, now what is it? What's your proposition?
I figured maybe to hire out to you.
You want a job?
Cavalry always needs scouts.
Maybe. You saying you want the job?
Why not? I know this country better than the hairs of my head. Better than any man except old Gabe Bridger. There's some few places I've been even Gabe ain't.
You're a mountain man, Will. You lived wild and free all your life. Why do you want to tie yourself down now?
Yeah. Ain't like the old times no more, Captain. Ain't pleasurable now. It's hard. Maybe it's the doing you cavalry fellers. Or maybe it's our own fault. Maybe we trapped too much. Took too much buffalo. I don't know. But I got me a young squaw. Prettiest you ever seen. I figured if I was to work, her and me'd eat regular at least.
Right now we have peace. We don't need any more scouts.
I figure you do, Captain.
Tell me, Will.
Am I hired?
I haven't got the authority to hire you. That'll have to come from the Major.
No, I'd rather deal with you. I know you.
I can't hire you, but if you've got information, I'll make you a promise. At least I'll feed you and send you back with meat.
Yeah, meat I could carry wouldn't last long.
Then we'll go see the Major.
No, wait. I'd rather tell you, but you got to promise me one thing.
What's that?
That it'll be settled peaceful. They're my people.
Will, I'll do all I can.
All right. There's going to be trouble. Tribes are getting restless, all of them. Arapaho even. Government promised them if they'd go to the agencies, they'd get food. Meat. And that promise ain't been kept.
Yeah, I know. A supply train comes through now and then, but it's not enough. I know that.
Arapaho are starving, Captain. Eating bark and roots. Game on the agencies played out. If they can't get food from the government or from the land, then they got to go looking for it wherever they can. They got to eat.
Will, have they left the agency?
Or camped at Silver Spring?
That's on the Oregon Trail.
They got to eat, Captain. They went looking for buffalo, but there ain't no buffalo. So they'll get food where they can, from the wagon trains.
Well, we got to talk to the Major.
You promised.
I said I'd do all I could, and I will. There's not much time for talking. There's a wagon train headed for Silver Springs right now.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
All right, come on. We'll see the Major.
How do we know this man's telling the truth?
I've known him for a long time, Major. He doesn't lie.
Could be a trap.
If it is a trap, then there's trouble for sure.
I don't trust a man lives with Indians, marries them.
No, no, look here.
Major, there's a wagon train on the trail to Silver Springs right now. They got to be warned. I can still ride out with a detachment to turn them back.
Captain Quince, our orders are to keep the trail open to Oregon and to keep the Indians on the agencies. If anything, we'll send a company to escort the train through and run those Arapaho back where they belong.
Couldn't do that without fighting, Major.
That's one of the functions of the cavalry.
In this case, there's no cause for it.
The Arapaho have broken their treaty, Captain.
The way they see it, we're the ones who broke the treaty by not keeping our promise about food.
All I know is they're off the agency and they'll have to go back.
If we go out in force, there's bound to be trouble. If I take a small detachment, maybe I can talk to him.
This is a hostile action, Captain. It's got to be met as such.
Major, the Arapaho are starving. They got to eat.
Mr. Granby, I'm sorry that they're starving, but I can't do anything about it. At least not until the supplies come through to me. My orders are to keep the Arapaho on the agency, and I can do something about that.
Those are people out there, Major, and they're hungry. They only want food.
Captain Quince, you'll take Company B and escort the wagon train until you meet the Arapaho. You'll send the wagon train on and escort the Indians to the agency. And use whatever measures are necessary. That's all, Captain.
Yes, sir. One thing, sir.
What is it?
Have I your permission to hire Will Granby as a scout?
I don't see why it's necessary, but if you want him, take him.
Thank you, sir.
What kind of a man is that?
Oh, he's all right, Will. He's an officer. He's got his orders. He goes by the book. He understands the situation all right, but he can't admit it. Listen, can you be ready to move out in an hour?
I can't ride with you, Captain. They're my people.
Will, I said I'd do what I could. I need your help. Ride with me.
You know what you're asking? You know what it might mean for me if there's trouble?
There won't be trouble if I can prevent it.
I'm afraid you can't, Captain. But I'll go with you.
We should see him just over this hill, Captain.
Yeah, if the Arapaho didn't see him first.
You figure they'd attack?
I don't know, Sergeant, but I'll feel easier when we spot that wagon train.
I was right, Captain. Here they are.
All right, Sergeant. Let's ride out. Company! At the gallop!
At the gallop!
Ho! Sergeant, blind men would have known we were here. Company! Hold!
What's the matter, Captain?
I want you to stop here, Mr. Brown, for the night.
Why? We figured to camp at Silver Springs. Just over the pass there, not more than 2 or 3 miles. We can make it easy before dark.
This'll make an all right camp. There's water and wood.
If there's trouble, Captain, I want to know.
It may be nothing, Mr. Brown, but I want to find out. You're to camp here and stay here till I give you the word to go on.
It's Indians, ain't it? there is trouble.
Maybe. Maybe not. But there's no use worrying all your folks. You'll be safe here. I'm leaving most of my men to guard you.
Well, why can't you escort us over the pass to Silver Springs?
Because if there were to be trouble, it would happen there in the pass, with the wagon trains all strung out and hard to defend.
All right, Captain. Whatever you say.
I'll come back or send word back to Lieutenant Seibert as soon as I know it's safe for you to cross. Sergeant Gorse!
Yes, sir?
You and two men will accompany Mr. Granby and myself. Pick them and fall out. Mr. Brown, Lieutenant Seibert is in charge here till I get back.
I don't see a doggone thing, Captain.
Well, keep a sharp eye. Move the troopers further out the flank.
Yes, sir.
You need to hear somewhere. I can feel it.
Well, they must have seen the train, Will.
Yeah, they have, but they also saw the soldiers. They might be making tracks already. They disappear pretty fast.
I don't think they've had that much time. They'll probably stand for a fight.
And, Captain, what are you going to do?
Will, a few miles back, did you notice anything?
On the trail? Sure, buffalo sign.
Right. It's the first I've seen this close to Laramie in a year.
Mm-hmm. Big herd, too. Across the trail going south.
It'd make a lot of Arapaho meat.
Yeah, it might work.
Worth a try.
Wait.
You see anything, Will?
Yeah, one of the scouts. Leave it to me.
Señor Nina. Nana Sina now. Anita Ina.
No one Ina.
Yeah. All right. He'll take us in.
Indian village I ever been in that wasn't full of barking dogs.
They had to eat them. You notice how it is, Captain?
Yeah, I see. I'd say they're not very happy to see us.
No.
I'm sorry, Will, to turn them against you.
Can't be helped. Yeah, this is it.
Hi, Daddy, too.
Why do you bring white soldiers to fight your people?
They don't come to fight, Grey Feather. This Captain Quince, he comes as a friend.
White soldier is not a friend of Arapaho. White soldiers break promise. They do not give meat.
I think I can get you meat, Grey Feather. I think I can take your hunters to Buffalo, a big herd.
You think? You do not know. Arapaho have ride from agency in north, hunt buffalo all through wide valley. No buffalo.
Gray Feather, on my way here from Fort Laramie, I saw much buffalo sign. You hunted only the north side of the river. You haven't been south of the Platte. I have. There are buffalo there.
To hunt take many days. Wagon train is here now.
If you attack that wagon train, it'll mean much fighting. Many dead among the Arapaho. Great mourning among the Arapaho.
There will be mourning for the white soldiers, too.
The army will keep on sending soldiers, rifles, until the Arapaho is no more. You know I speak the truth.
My people are hungry.
Then ride back towards the fort with me. I'll show you Buffalo Sign, then you can track from there.
Take many days.
It's the only way you can be sure to find buffalo and food.
If you find buffalo in 2 days, Grey Feather does not attack wagon train.
2 days isn't very long.
2 days.
If we do find buffalo, I want your promise to go peacefully back to the agency.
If you find.
All right, your hunters will come with me. But meantime, you must let the wagon train go through in peace.
This one, maybe not next one.
It is agreed, then, Grey Feather.
Aina.
Hey,
Captain, 2 days ain't very long. We gotta be awful lucky.
We don't have much choice.
You know what'll happen if we don't find buffalo.
Yeah.
It'll be just the five of us out there with Gray Feathers hunters.
Like I say, we don't have much choice. We gotta guess where the buffalo will be. We don't have time to backtrack them. Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
I'm sending you back to the wagon train with a message for Mr. Seibert.
Private Jenkins' horse is fresher, Captain. I ain't been on no buffalo hunt in a long time.
All right, Sergeant. Jenkins, you'll go back to the wagon train. Tell Mr. Seibert to escort the train past Silver Springs, then return here and bivouac. If I should not return, he's to get clear if he can and report to the fort for reinforcements. Move out. Well, we got 48 hours, Will. Let's find those buffalo. You see anything, Will?
Nothing, Captain. Not on that side.
Nothing this way either. You can see a long way.
I don't like the look of them back there. Gray Feather's getting anxious.
I know. I just don't understand it, Will. It's not a sign.
I've been thinking, Captain, we're too far south.
The buffalo were headed south.
Maybe not as fast and as far as we thought.
Maybe they veered east.
No, I've been thinking. It's been hot and dry for these last few days. No wind. Buffalo don't travel much in the heat. They just stand and graze and suffer with thirst.
But there's wind now.
Well, some from the southwest. But if there's up north of here, it'd bring them the smell of water from the Laramie River.
Yeah. Yeah, the river's still high.
Yeah, and they'd probably be craving for water about now, and they'd stick their noses into the wind and make a run for it, like they do.
You might be right, Will.
So if we cut back northeast to the Laramie, we'll find them.
They might be there. There's only one trouble.
What?
Look who's coming.
Uh-huh.
Captain, it is as Gray Feather spoke. You promised buffalo 2 days. Now 2 days are gone. There is no buffalo. Your promise is like all promises of white soldiers.
We've been looking a long time, Gray Feather, but now we know where the buffalo are.
Captain, give much talk. We want buffalo, not talk.
Gray Feather, my soldiers are at Silver Spring. If we do not return there, it will mean war for the Arapaho.
Maybe you return. But ye not.
It is not yet evening of the second day.
There is little time.
Maybe, but enough. We're going to the waters of the Laramie and find your buffalo.
On this next rise, we ought to be able to see.
That's right, Will.
What if they ain't there, Captain?
If not, maybe we can get to the river, find some cover. So stay close. Watch for my signal.
Yes, sir.
You should have gone back to that wagon train, Sergeant.
I guess I ain't much of a garrison soldier.
All right, look sharp.
Nothing.
Wait, look there. Coming over the hills beyond, running for the river.
Look at them. Thousands of them, noses in the wind and running belly bent for breakfast.
There go your buffalo, Gray Feather, all you can eat. Well, go on, get them.
He sure was mighty hungry, Captain.
Yeah.
Well, I guess our luck held.
Yes, it did. Well, let's ride on down to the river. I could do with a drink.
Coming in!
Sergeant Gore, dismiss the company.
Yes, sir.
Company, prepare to dismount. Yes.
Well, you're back.
Yes, sir.
Did you have any trouble?
No, sir. No casualties. Either side.
You took long enough.
The Oregon Trail's still open, Major. The Arapaho are back on the agency.
What took the time?
Why, we found some buffalo, stopped to hunt. The Indians took enough meat back to the agency to keep them quiet all summer.
I see. Well, that was fortunate.
It was mostly Will Granby's doing. He found the buffalo.
Oh, well, maybe I was wrong about him, Lee. Maybe he can be useful to us.
I think he can. I brought him back with us. His wife, too. You like to meet her?
An Arapaho?
She's sure not St. Louis.
Sure, all right, Captain.
Granby.
Howdy, Major.
This is Will's wife, Major. Lark woman.
How do you do?
Yeah, lawyer.
Mr. Granby.
Yes, sir?
If she's to stay around the post, she'll have to wear something more than that.
Huh? Oh, yeah. She's got a shirt somewhere in the baggage. See, Arapaho women aren't like Cheyenne or the Sioux or Crow. They don't wear much except when it's right cold.
There are a lot of men on the post, Will.
Huh? Oh, yes, sir, Captain. I'll see to it.
Oh, and Mr. Granby.
Yes, sir.
My compliments on your work with Captain Quince. As of now, you may consider yourself on the Army payroll as scout. It'll be in tomorrow's special order.
Yes, sir.
The quartermaster will house you.
Obliged, Major. Come on, child.
Well, she's kind of pretty, isn't she, Lee?
Yeah. They make pretty good wives, too. Clean, quiet, hardworking. Nice people.
Now, you wouldn't be trying to soften me up, would you, Lee? Win me over to your way of thinking?
I figure a man's got to make up his own mind about things, Major.
Captain Quince.
Yes, sir?
Don't get too smart. Just be thankful I don't ask how you happen to run into Buffalo and turn a serious police duty into a pleasure trip. Hunting.
My striker's cooking up some buffalo steaks, Major Daggett. You, like to come over to my quarters and try some?
Sure, let's go, Lee.
Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Dunkel, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Ralph Moody, Edgar Barrier, Frank Cady, and Eleanor Tannen.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. If people were money, life would be simple indeed. We could enter them in books in nice, regular columns. One for credit, another for loss. And as long as we kept the credit column higher, the losses wouldn't matter. Money spent can be re-earned, but people are not money. Every individual is irreplaceable. The time to care about them is now, before another victim is hurt. Obviously, heart researchers may not find the cures and preventatives to all heart ailments the moment you contribute to the heart fund. But the sooner you do your part, the closer they'll come to answering the mysteries of the heart. Send your contribution to Heart, care of your local postmaster. That's Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Heart, care of your local postmaster.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of February, 1956 on CBS. Wrapping up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great stories from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.